Hey, welcome back to the Workspace Podcast. I am your host, Justin Moran. Today's guest is Doreen Lang. She owns a company called Hang On To Your Stars. Hang On To Your Stars is a leadership consulting and training company that helps companies save a lot of money by stopping, or at least trying to reduce, employee turnover. In today's economy, with near zero unemployment, reducing turnover is really important. Why? Because it's that much harder to find somebody who's going to replace them. So sit back, relax, listen, and enjoy. Hey, Doreen, thanks for coming in today.
Thanks for having me.
I really appreciate you taking the time. So why don't you just tell the listeners a little bit about yourself, your firm, and the topic of the day.
Great, thank you. So my firm is Hang On To Your Stars, stars meaning your employees. I started this company because I was experiencing a tremendous amount of turnover at a company I worked for where I was not the leader, but I was able to hold on to my staff very well. But I was seeing that when the leadership changed, we lost people like crazy. So I started to really look at that. It was almost like a personal research project. And I started to investigate what's happening, what kind of onboarding they do or don't do. And I started to interview people, other managers, other leaders, CEOs. I started to study Jeff Bezos. I started to study Walmart and FedEx. I just got really into it.
Outside of your job.
Exactly. And I started to write articles, but I started to get really a lot more interested in the statistics, you know, and the statistics was really compelling. And that's what made me really start to write the book, because I wasn't sure people knew, you know, what those statistics were and how powerful they are and how important onboarding is and how it can be used as a retention tool.
So the topic we're going to discuss today is just how to hang on to your key employees.
Right. And the importance of that initial onboarding program.
Okay. So that's where it starts.
It absolutely does. It starts before they're even put their foot in the door of the building.
Huh.
Can I share the statistics with
you? Let's
go.
Let's do it.
Yeah, because I found them to be really powerful.
Okay.
So within the first 90 days across all industries, between 28 and 38% of people will quit within the first 90 days. In the healthcare and senior living industry, over 50% of people quit within the first 90 days.
All right. So let's take a step back. What are some of the reasons? What are the top three reasons that someone might just say, whoops, this is not for me?
I kind of look at them as though it spells like loop, L-U-U-P, because you've kept them out of the loop.
Okay.
So L starts with lack of training. And that may sound like, well, they should know what they're doing. You know, millennials coming in, a lot of them are coming into a new job because they want to learn, right? They want the training because they want to move on.
Right.
So people don't put a lot of emphasis on that. They may train someone for 3 days and think, well, we gave them 3 days. Let's see how they do.
I see.
People need that constant reassurance, that constant, what are you missing?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a huge, huge piece of it.
Okay.
The other U for the word loop, U is that they're unclear of the expectations.
Mm.
You know, it's funny when you take a new job, people don't sit with you and say, we expect you to do this. We expect by the end of the week to see this. If you're not getting this for us, you know, because you have to expect we're going to take care of you. So the expectations, it's really interesting. It's so simple, but they're not shared. The other U is they feel unwanted. My story is I was hired once at a job, and by noon, no one had talked to me in my office. So I got up and left.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. And as I interview people, it's very common. They feel isolated. And the last thing you want to do is two things. Leave anyone alone the first day, and you don't want to put them next to someone like Debbie Downer, because that person's going to take them just to a place you don't want them to go.
Right. Yeah. Oh, you're new here. This place sucks.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And then the P for the loop. P is personal conflict. You know, you can really flush a lot of that out when you do that first interview, second interview, the phone call interviews, because you can learn who your manager's going to be. You can see if you're going to like this person, if it's a good fit. But some people don't take the time to introduce them to who they're actually going to report to and get them to really kind of see if there's a jive, if they get along a little bit and make sure that they respect each other.
Yeah.
You know,
we are all human.
We're all human. It's got to work.
At the end of the day, you've got to be able to, like you say, jive with the rest of the team.
Exactly. Yeah. So my whole philosophy is if you put together an effective, organized, simple onboarding program, you hit all those things and you hit them consistently into the 90-day period. And realistically, onboarding should last around 2 years.
Really?
But statistically, since it's so high, the first 90, that my book that I've written, How to Drive Employee Retention in the First 90 Days, is based on the first 90 days, because most people give people the 90 days and then they, you know, they'll say they're not working out or they are working out. So that's why I drew the line for my book.
Well, the good part about the people that leave in the first few months is in the grand scheme of things, you haven't spent that much time or energy in them. It may take a lot to attract and find a good person these days because unemployment is so low, but at least you didn't invest 3 years and they've have all this knowledge that maybe they're going to take on to the competitor or something. So talk a little bit about the statistics of people that are your stars, if you will, people that grow into the role and really make a positive impact. What are some of the statistics around people that are that have been around for a little while?
The statistics that people have been around for a while are, it's interesting, it's almost generational, right? Because we've got the baby boomers right now.
Okay.
They have a whole different philosophy coming into a job. They appreciate their job. Their job means something to them. They stay because they enjoy what they do. They have purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So the statistics for them, they'll stay quite a long time, but they will leave if something changes and they can't be comfortable with who they work for.
Mm.
Where the millennials coming in, they have a different kind of drive. They're ambitious, they're smart,
mm-hmm.
and they want to learn, and they want respect. They don't so much want to work for a boss, they want to work with their boss. It's a different mindset. And I'm writing a third book. I'm interviewing five different people from the five different generations purposely, because I want to stop this generalization. I want to stop the people saying all millennials are lazy.
Yes.
I'm really sick and tired of that. Plus,
because they're not.
They're not. And I'm really lucky. I've got two fabulous kids and they're both millennials and they surprise me every day.
What's the difference between a millennial and a Gen Xer? I'm a Gen Xer. I had no loyalty. If I didn't like what was going on, I just left. And I did that for 10 years, I think. I had probably 3 or 4 jobs in 10 years. So it's interesting the points you made about millennials. What's sort of the main differences between those two?
This book is really helping me learn just what you're asking me. And I hope to have even a better answer the end of the book. But from what I'm learning and I'm gathering, it is so much about, believe it or not, you know how they say you blame the generation before you? You know, there's that expression, we're blaming the generation before you.
Yeah.
There's some truth in that. For instance, my parents, they did not encourage me to go to college. They thought I should get married and have a nice family, okay? I was just so curious, and I loved to read, and I loved to write, and I wanted to teach. So that didn't work for me. Even though they didn't want that for me, I wanted it for me. So I was so passionate about it that my kids see that, and they do believe they can pretty much do anything they can do if they know they put their hard work into it, because they saw what I've done. And I'm not saying I'm a hero. I just mean you learn from the generation either what to do or what not to do, just like anything else.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you ask about yourself versus a millennial, I hate to generalize because there's more to it.
Yeah.
There's about your childhood experiences, even health and personal issues come into play, your spouse or whatever. So it really all really does affect.
Oh, yeah. I can totally see that.
What you want for yourself. So that's why the whole generalization, you know, makes me crazy. And I hope to dispel that with this next book that I'm writing.
Well, we'll have to have you back when the book's finished.
Thank you.
So let's talk a little bit about some best practices for retaining key employees.
So I do a talk called How Great Leaders Retain New Talent. And I go through another acronym because it works out so beautifully with STARS, STARS.
Okay.
And just briefly, the S is to start early. When you are hired, you want to start onboarding that person before you hang up the phone. You really need to do that. I even go so far as to consult with companies and say, listen, this is your opportunity to say to them, you know they're starting in a week, so just go grab a small card and put, hey, Jim, looking forward to seeing you. We'll meet you at the front door at 8 o'clock.
Mm.
Please park in the back near the dumpsters. That's where all the staff parks. Don't bring lunch. Lunch is on me. And here's a $40 gift card. Treat yourself. We're just really looking forward to seeing you. So the nice thing about that is not only is it nice, but the nice thing is this, seeing people now that are being hired, they have a lot of options and choices.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're deciding between that job and another job, there's a pretty good chance they're going to think, these people already invest in me. They're pretty cool. I think I'm going to give this a try. Because people are telling me that when they hire people, they're not even starting.
Mm.
They're quitting before they start because they haven't latched on. And it's not bribing them. It's just letting them know, this is what we value. We care and we hope you care. And this is a little gift.
And if you invest in them, it's going to come back.
It's going to come back.
Yeah.
So the T would be, of course, the training. It really is critical.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking about just computer training. You've got to show them the building. You've got to show them if the alarms go off, what door to go out. Talk with them about all of that, where the resources are, who the resources are, and tell them what they're going to learn so they can look forward to it and have a plan. This is a chance to be excited, right?
Yeah, exactly. No, it's a new day. It's
a new
start.
Day.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
So that's ST. And then the A, I'd suggest that people go around on a regular basis and they ask people, ask the new hires, how are you? How are you doing?
Right.
What's happening with you? So where do you live? How are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Can I join you for lunch? I noticed you're into health food too. There's this place down the street you should know about. Just touch base with them. Ask them. you know, doctors do it. Doctors make the rounds, check in with patients.
Right.
Managers and leaders need to make the rounds, and they need to check in with their new hires.
I'm glad you said that, because my next question was, do you suggest this for the HR function, or is this sort of something that the teams need to adopt?
Great question. So that is exactly what my book is about. It's about saying, look, HR doesn't have time for this. They don't,
yeah.
Right? They don't. Yep. You're lucky if you can get them on the phone,
okay.
Right? They've got benefits to deal with. They've got issues. Even with the Me Too movement, there's all sorts of things going on right now in the workplace, right?
Right. Yeah.
So my suggestion is, you look at your organization and you identify a person or persons, usually just one, unless it's an enormous company, and you meet with them and say, would you consider being the designated driver?
Right.
Would you be the engagement coordinator? And you want them to want this job, and you want to incentivize them, right? You want to let them know that this matters to us now. You want to let the whole company know that this person is going to be driving this. It's that important. And even after the first 90 days, you give this person a $90 gift card because they helped this person through successfully after 90 days.
Yeah.
So you may have to take some projects away from this person because you need them to be available. They're not the trainer. They're taking them to the trainings. They're picking them up after the trainings. They're having lunch with them. They're putting their arm around them, not physically, but they're shepherding them to these different meet and greets and meetings and whatnot.
Yeah.
So right away, you know this new prior has a buddy.
Yeah.
You just know. There's
almost,
no question.
Almost like a tour guide.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, for lack of a better word.
But usually when you talk to someone, you get someone kind of really infectious. I mean, just think about jobs you've had. There's always somebody that jumps in you that just was always... good morning. They're always like, oh, he's in a gosh darn good mood, you know?
What's wrong with this person?
What's wrong with this person? Don't they know it's Monday? So yes, that's what it is. HR doesn't have the time for this. It's about a designated driver.
Okay. All right, cool. That was
S-T-A. S-T-A for
okay.
Ask.
Yeah.
And R is pretty simple. It's give them some reward. When you see them doing well, let them know. I saw you talk to that client. You did a fabulous job on the phone.
Mm.
You're right on. Thank you. It's like a feedback mechanism.
Starting this early, the reward system early. Okay.
Right. Right.
Very good.
So the last one is S is share. So I think maybe it's because my mother was Italian and we had a lot of food around, but
yeah.
I think it's about sharing. You know, you want to bring this person in, you want to share a story, share a meal, you know, come in and join us for the meeting. So
yeah.
It's really about connecting and connecting this person so they don't feel isolated. I even suggest taking new people after a week or two or three, take them to a high level meeting.
Hmm.
Let them see what the challenges are of the business.
That's a great idea.
That way they get a bigger perspective. They feel important. They know where their peg is fitting on that wheel. It's not just about you're sitting in that corner getting this work done at the computer. It broadens their perspective and it gives them some hope that, hey, this place is a happening place. I have room for growth here. So those are kind of my tips on what a good onboarding program should be.
Okay. It sounds like you're trying to instill a sense of community that may or may not exist at the company. If it doesn't exist, that's more of a cultural issue.
It is. It is.
So if someone's listening now and they're trying to think through how they could implement this at their company and they don't have a good answer, maybe they have different cultural issues they need to work on first.
Exactly. Exactly.
Do you get involved in those kinds of programs?
I do. What's really interesting is, this is a perfect small story, but it's really empowering. I've worked at a company where there were two people in like leadership roles, and they were not welcoming. They had their door almost all the way shut every day. They were late for meetings. They just really always sent this, you're not that important.
Yeah, the wrong vibe.
Right. And the turnover was insane. And they wonder why. It's about them saying, you know what? I have high turnover. I don't know everything. Whether I call Doreen Lang, whether I have a talk, help us analyze it and get honest, get real and fix it. Because turnover doesn't cost in the millions or the billions. It costs in the trillions every year, trillions. Mm. And there's absolutely no need of it. But people think their 3-day onboarding program is their fabulous program, but they will quit after day 4, sometimes day 7 if they don't have this in place.
Yeah. So how do you work with companies to codify programs like this and put them together? And I keep thinking in the back of my head, there's got to be a process that's just written out and everyone sticks to that process each time someone comes on board. So how do you work with companies to develop that process and bring it to life?
So the leader or the managers, they need to get in a room and they need to say, I want this. We need this. And they have to be committed. And I really do have it simplified because my steps are pretty comprehensive. And you can start from the beginning and we can drop their people in, their schedules right in.
Yeah.
So it's not a huge investment for them. And they don't even have to hire out to do it. We can use their inner resources. You know that expression, you gotta wanna?
Right.
They got to want to.
Yeah.
They have to want to do this.
Somebody's got to own it or else it's not going to come to life.
Exactly. And the second piece of wanting to do it, the second piece is you've got to be full transparency. You've got to broadcast it out to the organization.
Mm.
We are now on 2019. It's a new initiative. We have some fabulous people working for us. We want to continue to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to implement a new onboarding program. And we're going to be reaching out looking for people to help us. So you're already letting them think, wow, things are changing, but in a positive way, we value people.
Mm-hmm.
Because what the heck would you do without your employees?
Exactly.
Good luck.
Shut the doors.
Shut the doors. Turn the lights off.
Yeah. So how long does an engagement like that last?
So I do take people for 90 days.
Yeah.
But what I do is I go and I really train the engagement coordinator. I kind of get them to understand what their role is.
Yeah.
And then they have a script. Not so much they have to go verbatim, but they know that that first day they're going to meet that person. They're going to be waiting for them at the door.
Mm.
That new person's not coming to try to find HR. This person's going to be standing there with their hand on their hip saying, welcome, good morning. I mean, it's a new workforce. You need a new strategy. And the only way this is going to happen is if they make this commitment to do this. You really do. The older generation is 71 and older. They call them the traditional or the silent generation.
Yeah.
That was different. When they got a job, they were lucky to have a job, right?
Right.
And they stayed forever. They waited for the gold watch. And a lot of people are living longer and healthier. And so even the boomers that are retiring want to work part-time.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of options they're going to have because they bring in so much rich knowledge. So it's critical that people look at this differently now because what worked then, hi, Jim, you got a new job, have a seat, you're a school teacher.
Yeah.
What worked then does not work now. You've got to incentivize them at least with, I care about you and I want to see you succeed. So this is what we do for our new people. Welcome aboard.
Okay. Very good. So you mentioned earlier, something I've never given much thought to is that there's actually five generations in the workforce and, you know, a business owner might be staring at their roster of employees and literally see five different generations. So do you do anything to help companies sort of mitigate some of the risks there?
Absolutely. There's a program I conduct called Camaraderie Campfires.
Okay.
And what it does is I bring about 20 people or like maybe 14 to 20 people in a room, all different generations. And we work on a values clarification activity.
Okay.
I know that might sound kind of boring, but it really isn't. It's a very time-sensitive, compelling activity. You know, the clock is ticking and we have to make some decisions on something.
Okay.
And we talk about it and a leader will like surface in the group. A leader will surface and start saying, well, I think we need to do this. And other people will be like really intimidated by it. But what I do is I continue the fun in it. I keep throwing, well, what would happen then? And what do you think to try to pull everyone together? And what happens is within that an hour and a half, 2 hours, I say, let's do it at lunchtime, like a lunch and learn. With what happens within that hour and a half, people from the different generations start to learn about each other and understand why they make the decisions they make. And if people make decisions based on what they value. So the seasoned employees will say, no, I'm not familiar with that. And that wouldn't work for me. But a younger person, a new hire would say, I have my phone. I could get that answer right now for us. And then the next thing you know, it's that's right. You young whippersnapper, you're absolutely right. Thank you. That would really help us with this. So next thing you know, you get some laughter, you get some camaraderie going on. And what I see by the end of that, I see literally people walking out that have never talked to each other before in the organization, talking and laughing. And then the manager will call me a couple days later and say, Doreen, people are having lunch together that never sat with each other before. So it's working.
Yeah.
It's just bringing these generations together. It's kind of breaking down those barriers.
Because we all hold so much information in our heads. And if you're literally not talking to somebody, we're in such an email text world. If those ideas and that information is not being shared with others, then it's just locked in your head and kind of useless. So I could see how that's extremely valuable to a company.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I did these for former Mayor Menino years ago.
Okay.
Through an education collaborative in Boston.
Cool.
And they brought me in because there was different cultures coming in to work at the area hospitals. So it was a culture clash.
Yeah.
It was different people from all over the world coming in that they were bringing in because they couldn't get healthcare workers at an entry level. But what's the difference? It's the cultural differences versus generational differences. It's just differences. And the great thing about differences is people bring so much.
Right.
You have so many different qualities.
The differences are good.
Right.
You just got to get past
it. So optimize it. Optimize them and go down a little deeper and see what they bring about. Build that camaraderie because it's the glue that keeps people at an organization. People don't quit their job. They quit their boss and they won't leave. I've talked to people all the time that don't like what they do. They're really tired of it. They're sick of it. They're bored. But they love who they work with and they're just not going to go anywhere. It's that glue. People want to work with their friends.
I've been in sales my entire career in some form or another, and people buy from people. So it's no different. You're bought in, you're bought in. It doesn't matter if someone's trying to sell you something or someone's trying to make sure you're still on the team. It's all about people.
It's all about people.
Very good. So what companies do you work best with? For the listeners out there, how should they engage with someone like yourself?
Yeah, if they would just go on to hangontoyourstars.com, and just reach out to me, I'd love to hear from them. I am currently working with a veterinarian hospital.
Okay.
I know, go figure. But we need an engagement coordinator for all the shifts because it's a hospital, it's 24/7. Oh. So I'm working with an engagement coordinator that works the morning shift and the afternoon and the night shift because some people start their job at 11 p.m.
So we've got
to have somebody on board those people too. So that's been really interesting because that's working and they're thrilled. They haven't lost anyone since they started the program and they had horrible turnover. They haven't lost one person in 4 months.
Very good.
So they're really excited about that. And a manufacturing company in Bridgewater right now.
Okay.
So it really doesn't matter the industry. It's about my turnover is high. I need to stop it. What can I do?
Yeah. Implement best practices.
They're really busy. So to bring me in and me help them identify, put something in place, boom, it is a key. And I don't know anything more important than starting somebody off on the right foot.
I agree. Very good.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you.
This has been enlightening.
Thank you.
I appreciate your time. And we'll have you back when that's third book, right? You have
two books. My third book. That'd be great. I'm going to hold you to it because I hope to, say, sound more intelligent than I do now because I'm going to learn more. Yeah.
Very good. I'll take you up on that.
Okay. Thanks, Destin, very much.
My pleasure. Thank you. Once again, that was Doreen Lang of Hang On To Your Stars. If you enjoyed today's episode, please hit that subscribe button, leave a review, and most importantly, share with your friends. The Workspace Podcast can be found on Apple Podcast or wherever you listen. If you have any interest in podcasting, please don't hesitate to reach out. I can be found at info@workspacema.com. Thanks for listening today, and we'll see you on the next one.